Forks and Spoons, Knives and Other Cutlery. I'm your host, Christina.
And I'm Tori.
And this is episode 14 of Cullin' the Shots, the podcast where we reminisce on the good old Twilight days.
Woo!
Yahoo! So, as we, I guess, hinted in our last or previous episode, we're actually going to be reading or talking about the short novella Right After Eclipse, which it's the short second life of Bree Tanner in Eclipse novella. And before we even get to the summary and overview of the book, we're going to do another icebreaker quiz. This one is trivia based. And it's all about the novella's main character, who is Bree Tanner. Would you like to read the first question, Tori?
Sure. Who is Bree hunting with in the beginning? Raul, Diego, and Spider-Man. Kevin, Raul, and Spider-Man. Kevin, Spider-Man, and Diego. Or Diego, Kevin, and Raul.
Well, it's...
I forgot that there was a Spider-Man. Yeah. Kevin, Spider-Man, and Diego.
Yeah, it's not Raul. He didn't...
No.
Oh, Raul's not in it. So whichever one doesn't have Raul.
Think it's that one.
Next is, how long has Bree been a vampire? 5 months, 11 months, 9 months, or 3 months? I thought it was 6 months. I know that Diego's was 11. For some reason, I thought, I'm going to say five.
I think it's three, so we'll see.
Okay. All right. We'll find out.
What was Bree before she turned? An orphan, a runaway, a regular teenager, just became a vampire because she was at the wrong place at the wrong time, or a prostitute in training, a runaway.
Although, assume both an orphan and a runaway? She's running.
And she also alludes to being a prostitute in training, low key, a little bit. She's all of it. She's all of the above.
So when she gets to the part of the cheeseburger. Or the burger. Okay. What did Bree like to do during the day when she and the other vampires were stuck indoors? Listen to music, play video games, read, or watch the others?
I feel like this is a trick question because she's supposed to be reading, but she doesn't actually read and just pretends to read and watches people.
I'm gonna say read.
I'll say.
Why else would they add the portion of her going to get books with Diego if it wasn't?
Yeah. Okay. What reason did Riley give his army for why they needed to fight the Cullens? The truth. Victoria wanted Bella. To test the newborn strength, Riley wanted Bella. Or turf war.
Turf war.
Turf war.
What was Fred's special power? Repel others, attract others, camouflage, and the shield.
It's to repel others, but that is putting it very lightly.
In a way, you could almost say it acts also kind of like a shield because no one wants to approach him.
You could also say it acts like a camouflage because he goes invisible at one point, but we'll get there.
Ooh. I'm going to say repel
others. I think it's repel others. Who was Spearpoint with Raul? Jen, Riley, Kevin, or Christy? I don't know what the hell that means.
I don't know what that means either.
I was reading it very confused.
I think it's Christy. If they mean who is the other, you know.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Along with Raul, I think it's Christy. But what is a Spearpoint?
I don't know.
Who are the only other vampires Bree befriended? Diego and Spider-Man, Fred and Riley, Diego and Riley, Fred and Diego, or Fred and Spider-Man?
Fred and Diego.
Fred and Diego. Okay.
All right. Who else knows about Diego's hideout? No one. Raul, Spider-Man, or Riley?
Every time.
Spider-Man. Riley. I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What were Bree's last words? Oh, I don't even know if I know the answer to this. Her screaming, be nice to him, please, which was a thought. That one said they wouldn't hurt me if I stopped fighting, which was something spoken. And then thank you, which was a thought.
I think it was be nice to him, please.
I don't remember. I think you're right. But I think I'm going to say thank you because I don't know. Part of me is I'm trying to remember what happens at the very, very end and it's a blur. But you're probably right. I'm still going to say thank you though, which was a thought. Okay. And test results.
All right. What'd you get?
Well, I got 7 out of 10. It just says real nice.
I got 9 out of 10.
Oh, why doesn't it tell you what you...
I think it does. You just have to go down.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, you're right. It was 3 months. Wait, so it is 3 months. And then
I don't know what a spear point is.
I don't know what a spear point is either. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, the spear point is the pointy thing of the spear. It's the leader. The leader of the spear.
The leader of the spear. But like...
But it was Riley, I guess.
I don't know if I fully agree with...
Because I don't know what that means.
I wouldn't really call... Like, Raoul's group or mini gang within the army... Like, wasn't the only one. Christy also had her own, too.
Are they trying to say that Raoul was, like, second in command to Riley? Because that wasn't even true.
Boo.
Otherwise, what other ones did you get wrong?
I got the last one wrong. What were Bree's last
words? Oh, the be nice to him.
Other than the questions that we had to dispute.
I feel like some of those were a little tricky.
Though they were worded a little weirdly, I would say. On my end, but yeah, that's a spoiler alert. There's a bunch of characters that we're gonna kind of introduce. I don't know, some of them I omitted in my summary because they just didn't really do much other than like exist, so they didn't do much to actually like move it forward that much. If they did, then I would name them in the summary. For example, Christy, she doesn't really like do anything to move the plot along, so I didn't really name her by name. But okay, are we ready for the summary?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go. Well, before we even get to the summary, for like a very, very general overview, if you're not familiar with this novella, like we said, it still takes place in the same universe or world as whatever was going on in Eclipse, except for the difference is you're reading it in the point of view of Bree Channor instead of reading it in the point of view of Bella. Basically, what goes on with the newborn vampires in that weird section or period of time while the Cullens are also preparing for the fight on their end. So it's just another point of view of what's going on towards the end of Eclipse. Another thing to note is that there are no chapters in this novella. It's a really, really short read, like about 200 pages, and there's no chapters to really divide them or section them off, but it's kind of like a quick read. I described it as a one-shot fan fiction, which yeah. I think is like pretty accurate. It's like a one-shot.
That's fair. Fan.
Oh, I was doing a little bit of like just looking into more about this short novella, and I didn't realize that this was released right before the Eclipse movie.
Right before?
Yeah, right before.
Yeah, like in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I guess I never thought about that.
I like didn't realize. And when I was looking into it even further, Stephenie Meyer made it so like the release of this short story so close to the movie being premiered because she wanted to, in a weird way, like tease Bree's character more because she would be appearing in the book. And then another thing was that this story actually was released first as an ebook or could be read online before it was even published as a hard copy. And I don't know, for some reason, as I was reading the hardcover or hard copy of the book, I felt like I'd read it before, if that makes sense. So it's possible that maybe back then I did read it and I didn't realize
it. You just thought it was fan fiction at the time.
I feel like I read it and I didn't realize it, especially if it was available for free online. Like, I think at that point, I definitely would have still been like very, very active in my love of Twilight or like my love of the Twilight fandom that I definitely would have read it at that time, if that makes sense. Okay, so we start off with Bree reading a newspaper headline relating to the newborns feeding and hunting and not really hiding the bodies either well enough or at all. She comments that Riley's going to get angry after seeing the news because he's told the newborns that during the day they have to stay hidden in their little compound, and then if they go out at night they have to be very careful not to draw attention to themselves while they're hunting, which obviously hadn't happened because there was the news report in the newspaper. At that point, Riley had sent out small groups or pairs of newborns in order to feed at night so that they wouldn't be so easily irritated, but it didn't fully stop them from being careless and rowdy in their compound, or if they were out at night they were just like such an unruly group of newborn vampires that you couldn't really tame them, or at least maybe Riley didn't try hard enough to tame them, if that makes sense. And so Bree is paired up with two newborns, which we actually talked about in the quiz. It was Kevin and Spider-Man who were originally in the group that Bree was put together in for that evening's hunt. And Kevin and Spider-Man, which they don't give Spider-Man a name. You just refer to him as Spider-Man. They're under a subgroup, which is still technically under Riley's newborn army, but they're led by another newborn whose name is Raul. Raul is another character, which we also kind of hinted and talked about in the quiz from the icebreaker. So the two of Raul's men, when they were going out to find victims to feed on, they trap a car with passengers in it and they basically go to town with draining them of their blood. Another group kind of like crosses their paths, and one of the members of that second group had Diego, which is another newborn. And Diego basically comments to or towards Raul's two men. People that they're supposed to be keeping a low profile, but obviously they weren't because they just caused more of a commotion when they were feeding. So basically they all have a disagreement and then they just kind of disappear from the scene without really cleaning it up. And then Bree decides that she's going to continue hunting that night with Diego instead of Raul's people. Bree wasn't able to feed at the car scene, so she ended up being like very irritated and like thirstier than ever. And typically she finds herself feeding on members of society who are undesirable. So that might mean that they were involved with drugs or illegal or harmful gang activity, or they were just people who wouldn't be missed, quote unquote. It was a similar approach to how Riley would kind of seek out or scout potential members for the newborn army. He would like look for people that, quote, wouldn't be missed. And then that's how he chose the people that he chose. Diego and Bree would find new targets who happened to be a pimp and two sex workers. Assumingly, the two sex workers were working for said pimp. And after the bodies had been drained, they dispose of them in a large body of water under some sort of rock. So apparently their definition of cleaning up all their messes is just like putting bodies in the water and like putting some sort of weight on them so that the body doesn't float off, which I'm like, I guess that works. Post-feeding, the two head to a shopping area and Bree takes to stealing a few books to occupy her time while she's in the newborn safe house, while Diego grabs a few CDs to listen to later. And then after their haul, the two of them talk about their backgrounds before they became vampires, their newborn group mates, until they settled on the most interesting topic for that evening, which was the truth about vampirism as told by Riley. When it gets closer to dawn, the pair decide to head back to their headquarters, except for the issue was that when they got there, the place was like gone. It was demolished, which meant that Riley had moved their home base somewhere. Daylight was quickly approaching, and based off of the stories and the threats that Riley told everyone, daylight was basically bad for vampires, so they had to find a new hiding place to kind of wait it out until it became nighttime again. Luckily, Diego had a backup hiding spot, which was shaded from the sunlight, and this spot ended up being like an underwater cave. Which I'm like, how did this dude find that? Okay. So while hiding from the sun, the two speculate that maybe some of the vampire rumors that they either knew from the stories that they've been told in general or just what Riley told them, like dying if you were stabbed with a stake or burning if you were exposed to the sunlight. Both of these Diego would test out himself while they were hanging out in their little underwater cave. And turns out both of those aren't true. Ooh. Dun, dun, dun. So now they have confirmation that Riley's been lying to them, but for an unknown reason. It's unclear for both Diego and Riley whether or not they should, or Diego and Bree, whether or not they should confront Riley about it. But Diego is a little bit more trusting that maybe Riley would understand. So he kind of tells Bree like, no, I think it'll be cool. Like It's fine. Another question that they have relates to their creator, which they refer to as her, since they haven't been able to see her since, since she turned them into vampires. They suspect that something's going to happen or something is coming, but they aren't really sure what. And it's determined that they'll keep a close watch on the situation, and they end up calling themselves like a super secret ninja club. Which I was like, okay. Yeah. Okay. And it's because they just like know that they have to be sneaky and snoop around to find information. So when night falls, they leave their underground cave and they attempt to locate the new group hideout. I'm still not sure how exactly they were able to find it. But this hideout is further away from central Seattle, which Bree found to be a little odd because, you know, why would they be going further and further away from the city if like the people in the city is who their targets are when it comes to feeding? Once they finally get back inside the hideout, A few of Raul's goons threaten to roughen up Diego while Riley's still away, and Bree immediately goes straight to her usual hiding spot, which is behind Freaky Fred, who is another newborn who has a special talent, and his talent is to repel others from approaching him, which I described like almost like a shield. People just find him so disgusting that like they just won't, they can't even look at him. Like that's how that's how repelled he is. It's like having resting bitch face, except for worse. Eventually, Riley returns and he's surprised to find that Diego and company being Bree, were able to get back. In the weird way, he also wasn't that shocked because Riley just trusted that Diego had like the smarts and the instinct to kind of get himself out of a bad situation. So as the night continues, Riley sends out another group so that they can feed, and then Bree and Diego sneak out and they start to follow Riley to wherever Riley is heading. They'll later discover that Riley went to meet up with their creator, which, plot twist or spoiler alert, is Victoria. And shortly after waiting and listening to their conversation for new information, four cloaked figures reveal themselves to Riley and Victoria.
Ooh. Who could that be?
I wonder who that is. So the two hiding try their hardest to stay hidden and remain quiet until the cloaked figures leave, and there Bree and Diego discover some more cracks in Riley's lies and also realize that these cloaked beings, whoever they are people that should be feared. As soon as the cloaked beings, you know, disappear or go somewhere else, Bree's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, this is not safe, and she starts to make a run for it as soon as the coast is clear. Diego's a bit hesitant though, because he still wants to confront Riley, but he tells Bree to go ahead and then basically says like, oh yeah, I'll catch up with you later, I'll be back soon. So Bree returns to home base. She tries her best to really think positively that Diego's okay and there's nothing to worry about. But somewhere along the line, from the first meeting, kind of the first formal meeting, the night she was hunting with Diego, and then their little adventures in between, and then like spying up to this point, Bree suddenly realizes that she has like feelings for him and like a connection, which would explain why she's like internally frantic when Diego hasn't come back right away. Not long after, Riley also gets back to home base and he's super furious. So he starts like ripping off limbs and appendages of the newborns that are kind of standing the closest to him. And he also throws objects while he's having this little tantrum. And then Riley starts criticizing the group for being idiots and demands unity, and he announces that there's a battle that's brewing for the blood in Seattle. Ooh. He tells them that this battle is happening in 4 days and they have to like do a lot of training and there's just so much work to be done. Somehow the group agrees to work together and they begin training, but Bree isn't really sure, you know, what she's supposed to do or how she's supposed to feel. And all of this is happening. Diego's still not back yet. So she's like, where's my dude? Where's Diego? Riley pulls her aside and tells Bree that he has like a special task for Bree and I guess also Fred. Basically, he wants Bree to convince Fred to use his talents during the battle so that it's, you know, they have a better chance of like beating the Yellow Eyes, which would be the Cullens. And at first, Bree's hesitant to kind of comply to Riley's requests or wishes, but Riley relays a message to Bree from Diego, and somehow that calms her temporarily. She still doesn't fully trust him and things like that. And then on the last training day, Riley passes around Bella's shirt so that the newborns remember the scent, and he claims that it's a special prize, so whoever can get to Bella first can have her blood. This basically motivates the newborns even more and they all head out for the fight. But halfway there, Fred tells Bree that he's leaving and that, you know, she can escape with him if she'd like. But then Bree tells Fred that she needs to find Diego and also bring him along with them. So Fred tells Bree that, you know, he'll wait for like 24 hours before continuing on with or without them. Fred's like, I'm getting out of here whether you are here or not. And then when Bree finally gets to the fight, she realizes that all the newborns are losing. There's chaos. No one knows what's going on. She also can't find Diego. And then something clicks and she realizes that Diego was never even there. Back when Riley was threatening the group before all of the trainings, you know, with what their creator would do if they didn't comply and things like that, she realized that what Riley was describing was basically how Diego was killed or was finished off. All of this meant that Diego had been dead for days. Dun, dun, dun. So in her state of confusion, she encounters Carlisle and Esme and surrenders in exchange for her life. And then at this point, we kind of already know what happens. You can like, you know, connect all the dots during the battle and then afterwards the battle. I put that the only difference is that, you know, Bree finds out which of the Cullens is the mind reader. And basically she tells Edward through her mind or through her thoughts that the Volturi kind of like visited Victoria and Riley beforehand and they knew the situation or knew what was going on. And then she also just like had a lot of thoughts about like Diego and Fred and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, that's how the book went. That's how the story goes. Really, really short.
Well, first off, how did you feel like about the book? Like in comparison to other Twilight books?
So I put that like, overall, I thought it was fine. Like it was a very quick read. Like you could like read through it really quickly without being like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. I mean, there were definitely moments where I'd be like, what the fuck is happening? My thing is that like, I got very annoyed that they had to give Bree a romantic love interest when she only knew this person for like maybe 5 days. Like, I didn't understand why did she have to have a romantic love interest in this story because it's so short.
Yeah, I felt the same way. And considering it wasn't even over the 5 days, this whole story takes place over 5 days. They knew each other for literally a day.
Mm-hmm.
And considering the fact that, okay, I know they're vampires, so whatever, they're eternal beings, but he's 18 and she's 15, and that just rubs me the wrong way, just ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to include that? I think it would have been more substantial if they had just been friends.
I know, and it's not like she didn't, like, she had this weird friendship relationship with Fred. I was like, well, why does there have to be a romantic aspect to this? It could have been fine if they were just like friends, you know, platonic friends.
I think the impact on her with Fred was bigger than her with Diego. I was like, oh, okay, well, she's just trying to give up her life to go save Diego. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. But
whereas like Fred acted like, you know, Fred was, even though they didn't really speak to each other verbally, they had this like mutual understanding of like almost protecting each other, if that made sense. Well, mostly Fred protecting Bree. Like you said, it's more substantial of the friendship or, you know, whatever platonic relationship between Fred and Bree was than Diego and Bree. And there were like weird moments where they would like hold each other's hand and like just like have more lingering touches with each other. And I was just like, why?
Yeah, it was really weird. It's almost like Stephanie Meyer can't write a female character without making her entire life revolve around the man.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, like overall, I thought the story was fine. I just like was very bothered that they had to add like that romantic part to it. Because I don't know, it didn't need it. It really didn't need it.
Yeah, like it didn't feel authentic at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like they hop across a couple roofs together, break into a few stores, and they're in love, like ready to risk everything. Like, okay.
They spent an evening in an underground cave and they were like, this is it. Yeah. The other thing that I had for this is that I felt like the conversation between Bree, like anytime they would have conversations with each other, Bree and Diego, it just like seemed very awkward. And then I put, teenagers don't talk like that, do they? And then I also wrote that it reminded me of that joke of like writers who will write dialogue between siblings, but the writer themselves doesn't have a sibling. So they'd be like, hey, sis. Hey, bro. But like realistically, siblings don't talk like that to each other.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the same feeling I was getting with the conversations between Bree and Diego. It felt strange to me when I was reading the dialogue, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's like, praise, amen. Say it again, sister.
Go off, sis. Like, what? Right. Those were like some of my thoughts with this. I guess the last part that I had was, I know in our previous episode when we were talking about the movie, we kept saying like, why is the Volturi in this so much? Because it doesn't really, you don't really see much of the Volturi except for at the very end in the Eclipse book. And that was before we read this. It makes sense now as to why the Volturi appear multiple times in the movie, because apparently they did appear again or before the, you know, before the battle happened, but I don't know.
Yeah, they could have explained it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Especially because like, so eventually, or at least through Bree's thoughts, like Edward finds out that the Volturi was there a lot earlier and they were kind of had a hand in the orchestrating of like what was going on. But like it's never addressed in the Eclipse book that was the case. I mean, I guess they kind of hint it because Edward says something like, oh, if you were, if only you were here like 30 minutes earlier, you wouldn't, you would have been a part of the action or something like that. So he like slightly alludes to it, but I'm still like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I thought that I also agree. The book was fine. I am just so used to being like angry or really sad. It was nice to just kind of root for a main character. I'm so used to like being pissed off at Bella. I was like happy to have a somewhat smart main character.
I mean, with the exception of the romantic love interest part, there was a portion that like made me laugh where, so we already know based off of the Eclipse book that Victoria kind of gets Riley to do her bidding by like, I guess almost treating him like a partner, even though we all know that Victoria's partner, true partner, was James. And so when Bree and Diego find out where Riley's gone that one night where he meets their creator, which is Victoria, they, I guess they, I can't remember if it's that they see him or they like hear that they're, that Victoria and Riley are kissing, but like the way that it's described is like two stones that are touching, and I kept envisioning like if you just took two stones and you smacked them together.
That's what I was thinking too, just like shuffling some rocks around in your hand, throwing in like a rock tumbler. That's what you get.
I started laughing when I read that part because I was like, what a weird way to describe it. Oh, okay. So going back to like the thing I talked about at the very beginning before the summary. So this novella was released weeks before the release of the Eclipse movie. So Stephanie Meyer wrote this novella while she was editing Eclipse. And so not writing Eclipse, while she was editing, meaning like the whole story was already done and she was just like making sure it was ready to be published. But after she finally finished the draft of this novella, in her head, or internally, she was like, oh, I wish I could have changed the ending for Eclipse. So it's almost like this novella kind of like influenced what could have been a different ending or a different way that the story could have gone in Eclipse if she had like, I don't know, worked on this novella before Eclipse had to be released and things like that.
Yeah, I wonder how that would have changed because I don't think that Bree would have joined the Cullens. And I don't, because I think that would have changed way too much of the plot point. Why would they have Renesmee, Recessime? You know, I feel like that would take the place of the child in the series. I would have liked it if her and Fred were able to go off and then, like, in the next book, they meet them as, like, nomad travelers again.
Yeah.
But I wish there was, a video, a mini, or what are they called? A mini film. I wish there was a mini film based off of this to accompany all of the other movies, kind of like how there's a mini series about the backstories of the other Cullens.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that Bree's story had been included in one of those because I would have liked to see it played out in film. They should have just added it into the film a little bit more.
They could have.
Especially if it came out like right before the movie.
They would have had time. Maybe to
they could have done it because obviously if they put the Volturi creeping in Seattle, they knew part of it. They just didn't put the important parts.
They didn't put the parts where Bree discovers the truth.
This is something really random, but at the end Bree keeps referring to Edward as the redhead one, and it took me way too long to figure out who she was referring to.
Me too. I kept thinking it was Esmee.
I did too. I thought she was talking about Esmee, and I was like, why is she saying that? We know Esmee's name at this point.
But then I also was like, I couldn't remember what was Edward and Esmee's novel hair color.
Yeah, I like genuinely was wondering if there was a character I'd forgotten. I was like, is there another redheaded Cullen that I completely forgot about?
Every time she'd say redhead, I kept thinking it was Esmee.
Yeah, then, I did too.
And then when they added the mind reader descriptor, I was like, oh, that's Edward. I mean, I thought it was funny that when Riley was having his little tantrum, he like ripped one of the vampire's ears off and then gave it back to them.
Oh, yeah. And he like ripped off another vampire's arms and was like throwing it at him, like smacking him in the face with his limbs. That was hilarious.
I was like, oh, this is funny. Also, I didn't know they could reattach their body parts.
Yeah, apparently their venom is like sticky and will reattach their body part. She like licks her ear and sticks it back on. I wrote in my book, ew, just licking your ear and sticking it back on. That's disgusting.
Also, there was a part where Bree, oh my God, I'm doing that again where I mix up the character names, where Bree gets her arm torn off. While she's still like a new baby newborn, Riley teaches her, tells her how she can like reattach it, which was like the venom method. But I didn't realize that vampires could reattach their dismembered body parts thanks to their venom.
And apparently their venom is flammable too. What's up with that?
I have so many questions as to how Bella is alive.
I know, I'm very confused.
How is Bella alive? If this venom is flammable, some sort of sticky, re-adhesive like substance, but is also strong enough to kill you. And then also, like, since these vampires don't have fangs, it's just like on their teeth constantly. I don't know how Bella's alive. I really don't. You mentioned the part where Fred like almost disappears. What did you mean by that?
Him and Bree are like hiding in the back and he's like using his shield power or whatever for them to like talk and be all secretive and no one can see them. Part of it says Riley won't be able to think of me for about 20 minutes or so. I've been gauging the time, even a good distance away. He'll feel sick if he tries to remember me. So I guess they like just can't even think about him.
Dang.
It's on page 136. He says, I've been practicing keeping track of the effects. I can make myself totally invisible now. No one can even look at me if I don't want them to.
Whoa.
What an icon, Fred.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe Bree gave that up. She could have been protected for life.
I know. And now look at her.
And dead. Look at her now. She got no head and she dead.
I feel so bad for Bree. Her life was so tragic. And then she became a vampire and then she just died.
It got worse. It just got worse. Oh, yeah. Man. The other thing that I was going to bring up was that, so right before, it's like after all the training for the newborns have ended and Riley's basically trying to like hype them up and keep them motivated so that they'll be ready for the fight. As their prize, or I don't know, present for making it that far, Riley gets a boat filled with people and he just tells his newborn army to go at it. And I was like, what? How did he do that? And for some reason, I thought it was like a small boat. I don't know if that's the case because there's a moment in which Raoul, another one of the newborn vampires, has like a pile of bodies that he's sitting atop of like a throne. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like a ferry or something.
It reminds me of like Gateway Clipper.
Yeah, Gateway Clipper.
And just dead bodies on it. Also, another thing, they swim a lot.
Yeah, I was cracking up. They swim so much.
They swim so much. Literally in order to, you know, get away from their little scenes that they cause while they're doing their feeding in the nighttime, they swim back to their home base or wherever the heck it is.
This is something just really random, but I thought it was kind of funny. When Diego's explaining how he became a vampire and he's saying how he was trying to avenge the gang that had murdered his little brother or whatever, and they were ganging up on him, and Riley appears and is like, hey kid, want to start a new life? And he's like, that is the whitest dude I've ever seen in my life. He's like, what a fucking white dude. Okay, I guess I'll come with you.
Get a load of this white guy.
That's honestly, he's like, I thought, wow, what a white guy. Oh, I was saying that because there's no like chapters or anything for this book, my thoughts didn't have a definitive start or end, so they're just all mushed together.
Yeah.
I like don't even remember what happened. It's just all one big long chapter.
That's how the summaries worked too, while I was kind of like, it was just like a mush of information that I had to condense to a few paragraphs. Oh, I was going to ask, so are all these newborns kids or teenagers?
Yeah, I think they're all like high school age because she mentioned something about how Fred looks like a college student and he like looks like the oldest, or maybe it's Raoul that looks like a college student or something. So I assume, yeah, they're all like high school age children.
I just found it a little odd that Like, one, you do notice that Riley always refers to them as kids. I also found it strange that, like, even within their group, there were, like, sub-gangs, if that makes sense. So whether it was the kids who were led by Raoul or the ones who were led by Christy. I think that's also just, like, another interesting point that these newborns were children. But then if you compare it to, like, who the newborns were in the movie, they were definitely all adults.
Yeah, why is Carlisle so pressed? He's like, we can't murder this child. You just slaughtered like 18 other children. Like, I get that she's surrendering, but he's like, he can't do it. He's like, I cannot fathom killing this child in cold blood. Like, sir, do you see all the bodies burning at your feet?
Do you see all the destruction that you were a part of?
Do you smell the sweet lavender smoke or whatever it smells like? I wish I could smell what it smells like to burn a vampire. It sounds calming.
Would it be calming?
They make it sound calming. Don't they say it's like lavender scented or something like that?
Man, I don't even remember anymore.
Like, that sounds so nice. One thing that like bothered me is they kept saying like super ninja club. And I was like, this is so 2010. It's so painfully like, we're ninjas. Like, I get that it's because they have to be sneaky. But no, that was such a 2010 thing. Why was everyone obsessed with ninjas?
It was like that and like the mustache.
Yeah.
Things. And
it was like shirts that said I'm a ninja with like a mustache and like a weird cookie in the background for some reason.
Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. My final thoughts is just that I thought it was fine, like I said. And I was like sad reading it, just kind of the backstories made me sad, but it was fine. Other than that, I don't really have any. It didn't shake me. It wasn't revolutionary. I was really surprised because I was looking at stuff on Reddit and people were like, this is my favorite book in the series. It's so good. It made me cry. I just didn't get that. It was fine.
Yeah, I was seeing a lot of those type of reviews too. People being like, oh my God, it's so sad. Or like, you know, it was, or and even the parts where people were like, oh, it's so like action packed. Maybe at this point, I'm just so drained and like disconnected that maybe I didn't resonate with those portions of the story as well. But I mean, there are parts of it that are sad, like the backstory is kind of like what you said. Overall, I didn't think it was that like emotionally draining though.
No,
if that makes any sense.
No, I did love Fred though, and I thought it was so sweet that Bree's literal last thoughts were about him. I was like, oh, that's nice.
And I'm like, Bree, you could have been okay.
I know. You could have had that, but no.
Oh, man.
What about you?
I mean, it's the same sentiments as what I said with just, like, how I felt about the story overall. It reminded me so much of just, like, a one-shot fan fiction. And overall, it was okay. I just hated the romantic part that they added in there. I didn't think that was necessary.
Yep, basically.
We want more platonic friendships. You can trust your friends.
We like platonic friendships.
We like trusting your friends to get the job done. What is wrong with that? We want more friends. We
don't have friends anymore.
We just want friends. Stop making everyone date somebody. That being said, our next episode, we are finally up to the, I guess technically the final book within the Twilight series, but there's actually even more reading that we're going to find ourselves doing even after. So we'll be reading section one of Breaking Dawn, the book. I don't really know how many chapters that's going to be or what pages, but we'll find out when we get to that episode.
Yay! Surprise.
It's a surprise! Fun surprise! Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Remember that you can tune in every other Monday as we fall right back into our Twilight obsession like it's 2008 again.
You can find Call in the Shots on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your usual podcasting platforms.
Come sit with us next time at lunch for more of our sparkling personalities. Bye. So long. Farewell. Except for Fred. I hope you survive.
Love you, Fred.
We love you, Fred.